Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled A Vision, A Purpose, and a Hope is presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion.
I said Matthew 27:45-55, and I'm going to read that. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling on Elijah." One of them quickly ran and brought a sponge. He filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, and held it up for Jesus to drink, of which Jesus replied. But the others said, "Leave him alone. Let us see if Elijah comes to save him." When Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, Jesus cried out at that time, and it doesn't say it here, but at that time he cried out, "It is finished." Here's a man being crucified on the cross, left for dead, meant to die there, and yet the nails didn't take his life. The crown didn't take his life. The spear in his side didn't take his life. He chose and gave up his life. What does it say here? When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he yielded up his spirit. They didn't take it from him. He gave it. At that moment, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, which tells us that this was a heavenly action. This was not a worldly, earthly thing. This was a heavenly action. God is a supernatural God, and he does not have to follow after the laws of physics, so to speak. He defied it by ripping that curtain from top to bottom. The earthquake and the rocks were split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After Jesus' resurrection, when they had come out of the tombs, they entered the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to minister to him. Among them, I said the 55, right? That's what I said, 45 to 55. Stop there. Okay, just want to make sure I got that right. What an amazing thing that happened in this passage of Scripture. So often we look at that, you know, we look at the crucifixion of Christ. And we're saddened. It breaks our heart. And we feel guilty because we know that he took upon himself our sin. He took our sin upon himself. He didn't have to. He chose to. He gave it all. And today I want to certainly talk to you about having a vision. You know, what made Jesus as a man? What made it possible for him to do what it is he did? To come to this place in his life where, I mean, he was just 30, 33 years old at this time. He was a young man yet. He had all his life ahead of him. But he chose to lay it down for others. Everything he did was culminating to this point in his life. And when he was in that garden, you know, he cried out, "If it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, take this from me." He, you know, nobody wants to be tortured. Nobody wants to be, you know, if somebody throws a rock at me, I cry. Come on. Nobody wants to be thrust through with stakes in your hands and your feet. A crown of thorns pressed upon your skull, your clothes ripped from you. I mean, He was humiliated, spit upon, buffeted, punched in the face. His very face was, the hairs of his face were ripped off his face because they were angry. They were angry with him. What did Jesus ever do? Healed people, fed people, cared for people, watched people, spoke into people's lives, gave people a new chance at life again and again. See, Jesus had a vision. He had a vision to fulfill. His vision, he saw, you know, the earth would be covered with what? The glory of the Lord covers the whole earth. And he had to have this vision in sight in order to carry him through this time in his life. He had a vision, and he would not be deterred by any. He would not be perturbed. He would not allow the enemy of his soul. You know what he said when he was anointed for ministry, and the enemy came and tempted him in so many ways. And what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. And you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And him only shall you serve. You know, he only worshiped God. He worshiped God. He worshiped the Father in everything. So he had a vision and he had a purpose. What is that purpose? What purpose did Jesus have for doing this? You and I. So that he could look down through the, you know, through eternity. Through eternity past, eternity present, eternity, you know, in the future. Try to wrap that one around your mind a second. I'm talking eternity. He did that because he saw you and I and saw that we needed a Savior. We needed someone to save us from ourselves. And he wasn't leaving it up to chance. He wasn't leaving it up to chance. He wasn't saying, you know, he wanted to make it possible that all could come to everlasting life. And all who would believe, all who would trust in his loving, merciful hand. Jesus had a vision. Jesus had purpose in what he was doing. He purposed in himself not to draw back. Even when offered vinegar upon that cross, the wine vinegar, even when offered that, he did not turn. He turned away from that. He didn't even take that. He wouldn't take it because that would relieve some and give him some kind of relief from the pain that he was enduring. But instead, he endured the pain that we might enjoy the joy. We might enjoy the joy of eternal life, of life, a life that is meant for us. And Jesus had a hope. He had put hope in his heart, and he would not be deterred. He would not be. He would not turn away. He would not lose sight. You see, I've chosen this, and I look at this, and I look at Psalm 22, and I look at all the things listed there that he fulfilled to the T. Every one of those things in Psalm 22, he fulfilled to the T. And the chances of that happening, something which was written hundreds of years before he ever got to that place. And they say, how could this be? How could this be? God knew what he was doing. And he knew that we needed a Savior. You see, I want us to have that same vision that Jesus had. To see the earth filled with the glory of God the Father. To see my brothers, my sisters come to everlasting life. To talk to my neighbors, to talk to strangers, to talk to the world at large, to tell everyone, I don't care where of what persuasion they may be or what their orientation may be. It matters not. It's just that we share the love of Christ with them and teach them to know, to love, to serve the living, risen Christ who is amongst us, who is here for us, who desires that we might know Him. So that we would have a vision for the things that are coming against us. And in these things, when life seems to be so dark and sickness seems to be creeping in and taking over and everybody is, oh my, everybody's sick, what are we going to do? We're not going to kowtow, we're just going to still proclaim and declare the glory of God. Because there will come a day, there will come a day. You know, people say, well, why is this, these things happening? Why are they happening? Because, you know what? He's in charge. But you say, how is God in charge? Look what's going on in the earth. All this sickness, all this death, all this crime, all this, you know, you name it. It's all around us. God knows what He's doing in His infinite wisdom. He knows what He's doing. He sees you, He hears you, He loves you, He cares for you, and He's caring for you even now. He knows those that are His, and He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He promised it in His Word. And I say to each of us to take hold of the vision that Jesus had. Take hold, because He saw all of glory. And would not turn, would not give out, would not give up, but held on, even to the point of the cross, even to the point of suffering. You and I have not suffered as He suffered. But I thank God, because it says in the Scriptures, it pleased Him, who? It pleased God the Father. It pleased Him to bruise Him, God the Son. It pleased Him to bruise Him, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's so important for us to know that. I know I've said it over and over and over again, and I'll continue to say it. I'll continue to declare it. I'll continue to let you know He loves you with an everlasting love, and that's not something you can deny. If you've experienced His love, His life in your life, I don't care whether you're 2 or 92. It matters not. It matters that we embrace the fullness of the light that has been shared with us. And each time you hear a message about Christ and about what He's done and about the Christmas story and how He came to the earth and how God denied Himself. Think about that. God denied Himself as God. He had every right to come in and just wipe us out. Every right. He could have done that and sent us straight to hell, so to speak. He could have done that. And He had every right to do it. But instead, He chose to deny Himself and become a man. He became one of us. How's that possible? The infinite, eternal God would become a babe lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh, and we rejoice at these things. And I was hoping to go out today and sing some Christmas carols today. But those of you that stayed away and couldn't make it, I'm sad. I'm sad. So I guess that will conclude our Christmas carol for this year anyway. We'll have to make sure that we do it early next year. And just keep that in mind, because I want us to love on the people that cannot be here and just remember them, those that are shut in, such as Arlene and others. And I want us to just love on them a bunch. Maybe we could do a caroling in the springtime. And when you are all energetic and moving and running and the house is full, I think we might do something then. I'll think about that. I'll get Julie to figure something out. We can sing some spring songs, right? The birds singing and the sun is shining and the wind is blowing and it's, oh, we can think of a lot of things we can sing. But that being said, I want us to take an inventory of what vision you have, of the vision that you have, what vision for your life. I don't care. Your life counts. It matters. What you do matters. Don't ever think for a moment you don't count. You count. Why do I say that? Because he died for you. If he had done it just for you alone, he would have done it. He would have done the whole thing just for you. When you think about that, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I know it's a story we've known, we've told again and again, but how dare us get tired of the old rugged cross? Never, never, never let us lose sight. You know, I don't like a crucifix per se that has Jesus still on the cross. I don't care for those. Just because my Jesus is alive and well. Because he conquered hell, death, and the grave. He conquered it. He's no longer dead on that cross. He's alive and well. He's living. And he testifies today by his Spirit in you and I. We have this treasure in earthen vessels today in this life in which we share. What will you do? What vision will you declare and tell to a lost and dying world? How will you share with them his love? An act of kindness. Sow a kind word, share a seed, bless another's life, do something that honors him first and foremost, and then helps your fellow man along the way. And don't look at another human being and say, Jesus couldn't save them. Yes, he could. Many people look at Hitler and say, oh my gosh, what a mean, ugly man he was. Indeed, but if Jesus could have died, would Jesus died for him too? I don't care what you say. He died for him too. He didn't desire that he would perish like that. Even as crazed as he was, his desire was that all should come to everlasting life. So a hope and a vision, purpose that we can know. Lord, let us fulfill your purpose in our lives. So when you think on these things, when you think about Jesus being on that cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The last thing he cried out was, it is finished! He was a dying, bleeding man on a cross, staked up there to die. And with his final last breath and all the strength he had left within him, which wasn't much, I'm sure, at that point, having lost so much blood, he gathered all that strength together and cried out, it is finished! And it was finished. He paid the price. Sin's price had been paid. And now it's up to you and I to believe on what he had done to purchase our salvation. What will you do with that today? How will you live? Be transparent before the King of Kings, because there's nothing in your life that is hid from him. Nothing in your life that he does not already know. Nothing in your life that he will not expose. You need to expose all of you to his marvelous light. And let that light in the shadows of your being, to allow his mercy to flow to you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled A Vision, A Purpose, and a Hope was presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.